So hi, and welcome to episode 19 of the Amfrey Zoology podcast. I'm Chris, and my research focuses on cat-human relations and discourses surrounding free-roaming urban cats.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and my research focuses on elephant health and welfare and captive elephant-human relationships.
Hello, my name's Sarah, and I'm a postgraduate researcher looking at shark-human interactions. And today, we want to say hello and welcome to Mariah Madigan from Frankie's World, a rat sanctuary in Canada.
I like to think at least that I'm trying to spread the word and get people to open their minds to a new perception of rats.
Well, on that note, I was just curious if you've had any pushback from your neighbors. You know, do they know that you've got this rescue, and have they given you any trouble about that?
No, they don't really know. I mean, we're in a small town, and a lot of people know me, and they know that I run a rat rescue. How many I have? Not necessarily. I mean, no, we haven't got any pushback, and luckily in the community that we're in, there aren't any formal bylaws about rats per se. And being like a formal nonprofit corporation, you know, it's different than people just kind of, you know, hoarding rats in their house. so I don't anticipate that we'll have any issues, but yeah, people who do hear it and do hear, you know, how many we have. Like I just told someone at work yesterday when we were chatting about it, and they're very surprised at the number. But then, you know, friends that come over, people that come over and see the setup that we have and all of that, then they realize, you know, okay, yeah, this, you know, this makes sense. It's not just, you know, a room full of rats and it's, you know, dirty and messy and smelly and all of that. You know, we've got a good setup and it's very organized and they all have adequate space and all of that. But yeah, I've often thought, you know, should I tell the neighbors, you know, how much information should I give to people? Because they are thought of as pests. And, you know, yeah, if people think, what if they get out? Are they going to get in my house? Like, I don't want 50 rats running around the neighborhood kind of thing. But yeah.
I'd like to ask you a question, excuse me, about communication. I've got cats, and each of us have different ways of communicating with each other. And I had a favourite cat, and we used to communicate very much eye-to-eye contact. And I still do that with one of my cats here. One of the cats doesn't like that kind of communication system that we have, so he has different ways. And of course, my cats recognize their names. I know that you said Frankie recognized her name, and I can tell different meows mean different things. How do you communicate with the rats? Do they choose it? Do you choose it? Do you co-choose it? How does that work?
Okay, yeah. So in terms of rat communication, I mean, I think and we end up communicating with them in similar ways that they kind of communicate with each other. They body language and vocalizations are kind of the main thing. So they'll make noises, with their teeth. They'll grind their teeth, either if they're happy or if they're displeased. So you kind of have to interpret kind of the rest of their body language to figure out which one it is. The way that I kind of call them is by making like a human rat noise. So I'll go like, and you know, most of them will learn to kind of come to that, if not to their name. They're very food motivated, just like I think a lot of people and animals are. And when they're happy, they tend to do, they make like kind of little vibrations kind of with their body, like as if they're kind of like shivering, but it's kind of like, I'm overwhelmed with joy kind of thing. They also do this thing called boggling, which is basically like their eyes kind of like quiver and like almost like bulge in and out of their head, which looks really freaky the first time you see it and you have no idea what's going on. But it's just them kind of being really relaxed and just like like enjoying kind of themselves. Like they do it a lot if they're like, if they're getting scratched and pet and, you know, getting little rat massages and stuff, they'll kind of do that. So that's their way of showing, you know, they like it. Their way of kind of showing that they feel comfortable and are trusting of you and their environment is if they're, you know, they're like exposing themselves. Rats are prey animals, so they naturally like to hide and burrow in things. But if they're kind of standing out in the open, and especially if they're bathing themselves, like out in the open or in front of you, that's kind of their most vulnerable position because they're not watching for things around them. So that kind of lets you know that they trust you and they feel safe in their environment, and things like that. And then, yeah, just kind of, I feel like you just, you know, with time you get a sense for, you know, for each individual animal, and kind of what their behaviors mean. You know, their fur is usually smooth, and, you know, when their furs are, you know, a little bit kind of poofy and erect, that often means that they're not feeling well. Either they're sick for whatever reason, or, they're just kind of like a little bit worked up and, kind of grumpy. Like the boy rats, sometimes if they, you know, get put in a playpen that smells like other rats, they get a little bit territorial. So they'll get a little bit puffy and they'll start to like kind of wrestle with each other. So that kind of shows that. Yeah, those are kind of the main things. And then I find that I just kind of like, you can just kind of get a sense for what an animal kind of thinks and feels, at times without really knowing how. It just kind of, you just know, you know, they're happy right now and you have no way to explain it, but you just kind of know.
And you said Frankie knew how you felt as well. How did you come to that kind of determination?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all probably had this experience with, you know, with animals. They can tell when we're sad, they can tell, when we're stressed, rats, you know, with each other, they do a lot based on smell. And, you know, all animals, us included, you know, emit different smells when we're in different moods or different states of health. And so I think they can tell a lot based on that. And so, yeah, if I'd kind of had a rough day at work, was stressed out or was upset about something, Frankie would always kind of come and spend more time with me. Like she was very independent and liked to be with me, but doing her own thing. So she would like run around her room, collect up all the little snacks and toys that I would leave out for her and like stash them in her little, nest and things like that. And, you know, would come visit me kind of, you know, and check in now and then, but she wasn't a snuggler. Like we didn't cuddle all the time or anything like that. It was more just kind of a mutual playtime kind of thing. But, you know, when I wasn't feeling awesome, she would come and she would cuddle and kind of be more affectionate and kind of knew that's what I needed. And kind of similarly with her, when she kind of was tired and as she got older and kind of wasn't able to do the same things and, you know, wasn't feeling well, she really appreciated when I would kind of, you know, spend a bit of time each morning and each night kind of, you know, massaging her and petting her and, you know, just kind of, being with her. And so, yeah.
So one of the other questions I've got as well is, obviously, you said that rats don't live very long as individuals of a particular species. So that must be very hard in terms of grief, because you're grieving often for for your rat's family. I don't know if you consider them family, but I'm guessing you consider them family and kin. So I was wondering a couple of things. How do you deal with that? How do you find yourself dealing with that? Because it must be such a ride, you know, from them being young to past so quickly. And also this ties in with some research that Chris did on memorial tattoos. I was wondering if you had a memorial tattoo of Frankie, or if you know of any other people who get memorial tattoos of their rat companions.
Yeah. Yes, I do have a memorial tattoo of Frankie. I have two behind my ear. It'll probably be hard to see on the video, but I have her name written in pink ink because she was it's called a Rex rat. So her fur patterning, she wasn't fully hairless, but she wasn't kind of a normal furred rat like you would typically picture. She was kind of patchy and scraggly, and her fur was very, you know, light kind of white colored. So you could really see her bright pink, skin underneath. So I have her name written, in pink ink, and then her nose print kind of right beside it. And then, on my chest right here, I have her paw print. And I actually have some of her ashes mixed in, with the ink. So she's kind of with me all the time. I mean, she's with me all the time in various ways, but that's just one of them. And, yeah, I know a lot of people that get memorial tattoos for the rats and other animals. And then, yeah, the grief part, it's super hard. And I've always had a really hard time just kind of comprehending death. I mean, I think a lot of people do. It's the permanence of it. And, you know, it's very scary. It's very, you know, misunderstood, because we have no way of knowing what happens afterwards. And, you know, we don't like mystery. We like to know things. and yeah, it's hard to know that, you know, this family member that you've come to love so much is not going to be around for very long. And, you know, there will be a time where you will never see them again. And that's not a very comfortable thought, and not something that people like to think about. And I don't like to either. I think my experience with Frankie, completely changed that. It was losing her was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. I kind of, as she got older, found myself, kind of with anticipatory grief, kind of worrying about the day that would happen. And, you know, people around me worried about the day that would happen and what would happen to me when Frankie was gone. And I think they were right, because I completely fell apart. I did not handle it well at all. I was, you know, in kind of the worst mental state that I've ever been in. You know, I took a number of months off of work. I really didn't do anything other than, you know, lay at home and watch videos of Frankie and just kind of try desperately to kind of keep her, you know, alive and as part of my life. Like I continued for months with kind of the same routine that I would every day, you know, every morning and every evening. Instead of physically spending time with her, I would watch videos, like of her, cause I had 16,000 videos and pictures of Frankie. I would still like go into her room, and, I had this kind of like good night, kind of not like a song, but kind of like a phrase that I would say to her every night. So I would kind of like go and pretend that she was in her bed and say the same thing to her still every night. I would still like talk to her every day. So I did that for a while and still do, quite often, just cause it's comforting. But then realizing that she is still there and, sorry, it's really hard not to cry talking about this, even though like I'm totally at peace with it now. Yeah, getting that experience with the animal communication and learning that there's totally something after death, whatever you want to call it. You know, although the physical body is gone, you know, that energy, that consciousness, that spirit exists somewhere else. You know, it's kind of like that idea in science, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed. It just changed forms. And that totally makes sense to me now when I think about that kind of thing. So reincarnation is totally scientific. So yeah, being able to connect with her and still kind of talk to her both through the kind of the animal communicator. And I'm learning myself, kind of how to do that. And I find myself being able to kind of, you know, receive messages and send messages to Frankie. And it makes it easier in some ways, you know, knowing that they're still there, knowing that it's not, you know, permanent, gone forever. And knowing that, you know, that I didn't do anything wrong, that I couldn't have done anything differently, you know, that this was going to happen anyways, you know, that she didn't suffer, that she enjoyed her life. And knowing that she's at peace with it and okay with it, you know, makes me okay with it. Cause all I ever wanted was to make things okay for her and for her to have the best life and not suffer and just, you know, live as long as possible. And so knowing that, that I did that is reassuring. And then, you know, for the subsequent, you know, rats that we've lost after that, it's just, it's made it a little bit, you know, easier to know that A, if I can handle Frankie's death, I can handle anything. B, you know, being able to communicate with them, to know that they're ready to transition, you know, they're suffering, they're not enjoying life anymore. They're in pain. You know, that they're okay with it. You know, they're ready and that's what they want. Makes it easier because I just want to honor their wishes. Of course, I'm going to be sad and I'm going to miss them, but I just want what they want. And then, you know, seeing again that they're okay afterwards and that they, you know, come back and visit and that they just want us to honor their lives, you know, by taking care of the rest of the clan and, you know, keeping to rescue, other rats. And so like it still makes it hard, but there's not the same grieving process. It becomes more of a celebration than a sadness. So we actually lost two rats last week back on back-to-back days. And one was suddenly, she was fine and then she wasn't. And another, had kind of a progressive decline that, we thought was going to take much longer than it did, but all of a sudden she also was just kind of not okay. And she just kind of passed quickly in my arms and, it sucked cause I was really close to one of those girls as well. But it's just kind of, I see it more as the natural process of things now and, you know, a part of their life that, you know, we have to go through, we have to deal with and just kind of make it as comfortable as possible for everybody involved. And, yeah, we always have kind of a party for each of them after they, you know, transition. We have a nice little kind of memorial service, and, you know, talk about our favorite memories about them. You know, we put their picture up on the wall, so that we can still kind of see their faces and, you know, talk to them and know that they're there. And, you know, we make, you know, little memorial, you know, crafts and things like that, just different things just to kind of keep them around and know that they'll always be here. We'll always remember them. We'll always talk about them. And, you know, we wish that they were still here, but, you know, they are still here just in a different form.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned that there was a strong community and I guess that also sort of helped sharing these experiences. But I wonder how it is within the rat world and these cat groups that I'm part of. People like to sort of share when they've lost a companion and there seems to be some comfort in sort of sharing that with like-minded people. But then there's also this resistance against it where people don't like that because, and then it can be kind of, there's only so many sort of sad stories that, and like I try and say sorry, I can't speak now. I kind of put a little care thing, but I have to switch off because it's, it's that struggle, right? Between sort of caring and wanting to share and reach out versus just there's only so much sadness to balance the happiness. And I was actually curious what the rat communities were like, and maybe you could also sort of share some links afterwards in case anybody is thinking of adopting a rat or has suddenly got a rat friend.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's really difficult for sure. I think the solidarity piece is huge. And, I think it's very therapeutic for people to, you know, to put their experience out there, whether they receive, you know, comments back or whether it's just, you know, likes or whether it's nothing, it's just kind of, you know, just kind of part of the process to feel like you've shared this important part of your life with the world, you know, your rat's, you know, memory will live on, like it's out there, it's in words, you know, somewhere. And, you know, also for you to go back to and kind of, you know, read, you know, the story of your rat kind of thing and, you know, reminisce and that kind of stuff. And I think as animal lovers and especially as a lover of, you know, quirky, misunderstood critters, it can be really hard when people around you just don't understand. Like, you know, people just can't fathom sometimes that, you know, how could you be more upset over the loss of a rat than, you know, losing a human or, you know, when you lost your dog or, you know, some of those things and people don't understand that, you know, it doesn't matter what form the thing is, you know, a bond is a bond, whether it's an animal or a human. And, we always called Frankie our daughter, like she was my daughter. Like, I don't know if we plan on having kids, but our animals are our kids. We call them our daughters and our sons and we treat them as such. And I feel that way towards them. So like, I felt like I was losing part of me when I lost Frankie and, you know, it can be really hard and make the experience almost, you know, more difficult when you feel invalidated in that, when people just kind of don't realize where they say things like, well, when are you going to get another one? And it's like, well, if you lost your kid, you would not appreciate it if I said, when are you going to get another one? And I mean, yeah, it's different, but at the same time, it's not all that different. And, you know, I look forward to a day when people kind of, you know, learn to understand that a little bit more. And so I think kind of the rat community is, you know, any animal community is great in that sense that they understand that. And so you feel like your loss is understood and appreciated and people have felt the same thing and that you're not, you know, crazy to be, you know, mourning in such a deep way over such a small critter that, you know, has only been in your life for 2 years. But, you know, time doesn't matter and size doesn't matter. It's, you know, the strength and the effect that they had on you that matters. So yeah, that part is awesome. But yes, it is hard to see all the loss. Rats don't live long. And, you know, we have a lot of kind of, you know, connections within the rat rescue community. So, you know, there's posts about, you know, people losing their rats almost on a daily basis. And it is a lot and it is really sad. And yeah, I often try to, you know, I always at least, you know, put, you know, the little caring, you know, emoji on the post, or post, you know, like a little heart or something like that. And then I try it, you know, if there's, you know, words that they've written that kind of, you know, speak to me or feel kind of similar to ways that I've, you know, that I felt with Frankie or have, you know, felt with similar rats, you know, then I'll, you know, write a little something or, you know, send them a message and say, you know, if you ever want to just, you know, chat about your rat, let me know. Cause I also find that one of the hardest parts is that, you know, this animal is such a huge part of your life. And then all of a sudden they're not there and you're not talking about them and your life doesn't revolve around them. And it's just weird. And some people, you know, get uncomfortable when, you know, you're sharing stories or experiences, you know, about your animal that's passed away almost as if they're still there. And, you know, some people just need to talk about them. So I often just offer to people, you know, tell me your favorite thing about so-and-so, you know, what were the favorite things that you did together? What were their favorite foods? You know, tell me some of your favorite memories with them. And I think that just kind of helps as well.
So this idea of disenfranchised grief, which you just explained, And you know, people said, well, it's only a dog, it's only a rat, it's only a cat. I think we've all felt, you know, exactly what you're feeling. And I know what you mean as well, Chris, because I joined an online group when I lost my cats. Mm-hmm. And I found that it just becomes overwhelming at some point and to the stage where actually you just kind of, I kind of just go numb. It's like I just can't absorb anymore. It seems like a sponge, and then it's too much, and like it's just no more to be able to not able to absorb anymore. But you also made me think about disenfranchised happiness, because one of my questions that I have for you is something that I think a lot of people will be going, what kind of question is that? And that's like, how will you and your rats be spending time at Christmas? So that's like a disenfranchised happiness that people are going, what are you going to have at Christmas with your animals? And, you know, it's like, and people really, they do invalidate people who want to celebrate events with not other than human animals. So yeah, my question for you is, how will you and your rats be spending Christmas? I'd be fascinated to know.
Yeah, I love this question. I mean, we don't have anything necessarily specific planned yet, but we have like little tiny stockings for every single one of our animals. We're going to have about 50 more to make for the ones that are new this year from last year. So we just go to the dollar store and get little stockings and, you know, little fabric kind of, you know, paints and things like that. And we write their name and then, you know, draw a little drawing on them. And then we, there's obviously not enough room on the kind of the mantle. So we kind of string them along one of our kind of big walls, kind of from one window all the way over kind of to the other window. So everybody gets a little stocking. The rats that are small enough, we put them in their little stockings and have little photo shoots. We have two little dwarf rats that are just heartbreakers, and just super, super cute. So we put them in there and they like to have fun. We decorate, their cages with kind of Christmas themed. So they have, you know, Christmas stockings, you know, little baskets and things that are Christmas colored. I sew and I make, all of their, you know, hammocks and, you know, little snuggle sacks and things, myself. So, make some with Christmas fabrics and patterns and things like that. We give them, you know, Christmas themed snacks. They ate some Christmas colored Rice Krispies the other day. What else do we do? We watch like Christmas movies with them. There's a TV in the rat room. So we hang out with them and we watch Christmas movies, listen to Christmas music. One of the fun projects that we're going to do this year, my birthday is the week before Christmas. So one of the gifts that I was given early this year is, they're like clear like Christmas ball decorations, so like the spherical decorations, and they're empty in the middle, and so you can put things in them. So my wife had the idea that, because I'm very nostalgic and I save everything from everyone, like I have everything that like was left behind when Frankie passed away, like I got rid of nothing. And you know, some of the others, like I'll keep little scraps of like the snacks that, you know, they had in their cage when they passed, or, you know, little bits of their favorite toy, or, as weird as it sounds, like little pieces of their poop. And, cause rat poops are kind of tiny and cute and not gross at all. We'll just kind of fill these little decorations with little kind of memorial things and hang them on the tree. So that'll be super fun. Yeah, those are some of the things that come to mind, but yeah, they'll definitely be part of everything.
That's brilliant. What about food? What do you do for, do you eat with them, or have meals with them and things?
Yeah. We often do. And we, you know, we let them have, I mean, rats can have most things. You know, anything that's rat safe for them, we'll let them, you know, try a little bit of our stuff. They tend to really like, we're vegan, so we don't eat turkey. We eat tofurkey, and they often really love the mushroom gravy that goes along with the tofurkey. So we'll let them, you know, lick all the gravy off of the plate. You know, we give each of them, you know, little bits of everything that we have on our plates.
I'm booking a plane. I'm coming over.
Yeah. More the merrier.
All right. Well, should we meet Frankie Paisley?
Oh yeah. Okay. Why don't we meet a rat first, because we don't want Paisley to come in with the rat, because she might play with them. We haven't tried to put them together yet, so I don't know what'll happen. So let's meet Mushy.
Hi, little girl.
She's just napping in her little Christmas present toy.
Come here. Come here, come here.
Okay. So this is Mushi. Oh my gosh, she's like totally see-through. You look wow. super cute. Okay. Yeah, so this is Mushi. I chose her to introduce. She's kind of special. She was the first girl that was kind of like a true rescue for us. A partner rescue of ours was contacted by Mushi's former human because she had a massive tumor and her human was just couldn't afford to take her to the vet, kind of didn't know what to do. This other rescue was kind of full and couldn't really take her on. And so we were like, yeah, we can take her. And so, you know, we organized transport and kind of brought her to us. And it'll be hard to see in the video, but she's got like a massive scar all the way from her arm kind of down to her tail. She had a really big mammary tumor, like the size of a tennis ball. Like it was easily 3/4 of her size attached to her. You know, we didn't know how she was going to do, but we were going to help her out the best we could anyways. So we took her to our awesome exotics specialist, and they determined that they thought they could try to remove it, although it was still pretty risky. So she was lucky and made it through the surgery, and it was fully removed. Part of it did come back as cancerous, without kind of fully clear margins. So she is still living with cancer. It's now 6 months later and she's doing awesome. She's 2.5 years old, which is very good for a rat. And, she actually has the honor of living in Frankie's room now. She lived in Frankie's room until we got her surgery because we didn't want to integrate her with anyone else, you know, with that massive tumor and all of that. And then she got integrated with one of the girl groups after she was well. It was actually her two cage mates that passed away last week. So then she's on her own again. So we put her back in Frankie's room and she absolutely loves it. That's Mushi. And now we'll bring Paisley Franks. We had various nicknames for Frankie. One of them was Franks. So I call this kitty Paisley Franks. Oh, it's so hard to see them with the background.
She's so little.
She's very little. She's fully grown. She's probably about 8 months old, which is ironic because she would have been born right around like the exact date of kind of when we founded our rescue and like Frankie's adoptiversary. She's very small. She weighs like 1.3 kilos. I don't know if you can see the little bandage on her arm here. She has permanent nerve damage in this one arm. So she walks around on three legs, but she does not let it stop her. And she spends most of her day hanging out with me. We brought her to the Santa Claus parade in town the other week, and she just like sat on my shoulder. You know, she often just kind of runs around the ground and she'll make these cute little like meow sounds and then look up at me and kind of like put her paws up, like up, up, I want up. And then I'll pick her up and she just kind of perches on my shoulder like this, kind of whatever I'm doing. I take her with walks, when we walk the dogs. She sleeps like on my pillow with me, like on my face. She is very, very cool.
She's beautiful, isn't she? Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, she's very cute. She's very cute. Let me see if I can change my background so you can see her better. Or could you see her? Or
kind of. No, she turns multicolored.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see what I can do here to see if we can see her a little bit better.
I was wondering as well, as Chris mentioned before, if you could tell. Oh wow.
This is Paisley.
Nice. Hi, Paisley.
Yeah, she loves wearing clothes because she gets cold because she's super tiny. So I was at Disney World recently, so she got a whole bunch of Disney and Universal themed clothes. And they're adorable. And yeah, she just hangs out.
Yeah. So how can people get in touch with you then, Mariah, if they want to talk to you about rats or any other animals, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a website, just www.frankiesworld.ca. On there, you can kind of find out more about us, our story. You know, we have links to some, you know, some videos and to all of our social media pages. We are active on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We're mainly active on Instagram. So that would be the best place to learn more about us, kind of follow along with what we do and watch cute rat videos and other animal videos. We post things about the cats and dogs and things as well. So our name on there is just Frankie's World Rescue. It'll probably come up if you search that, or kind of our tag or whatever it's called is just at Frankie's World Rescue. Just spelled just how it sounds. And yeah, that's our name on everything. And yeah, that's how to get a hold of us. And we like, I love nothing more than talking about rats. So I love it when people message me. I love it when people ask me questions about rats or about any animals, and I'm happy to help and chat and find resources, in any way I can.
So, we'll include those, links in our, the text that goes with the podcast and the video, but just for any listeners who aren't aware, that's Frankie with an IE, so with a Y. So yeah, that's great.
So, I noticed that for those people who can't adopt a rat, there is the opportunity on your website to sponsor a rat that will continue to live with you.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we do have that. It's not super well explained on the website yet. I need to work on, updating it. My sister does a lot of the help with that kind of thing. And, so she's moving home in a couple of weeks, so I'll get her to help me out with that. Cause I tend to get very busy with the day-to-day, operations and not so great at, following up on that stuff. But yes, you can sponsor a rat. We have profiles on our website, of all the rats that we have. Again, I need to add quite a few. But if there's one that speaks to you through, you know, reading about them or watching our stories, on Instagram, then you can either make a one-time donation or a monthly donation to them. We also have a Patreon account, which is basically kind of a platform where you can subscribe kind of to donate monthly. And based on that, you get kind of, you get a Frankie's World sticker, or, you know, you get, you know, one-on-one snack time with one of the rats or various different things based on how much you donate. So we try to make it fun and interactive and, you know, are very appreciative of the people who support us, because we would not be able to do what we do without it. Mushi, who you just met, her surgery was entirely funded by donations, which was awesome because it was quite expensive. So yeah, we absolutely love our rat people, and anything helps. And one of the things I like to always emphasize is that, you know, every dollar matters. You know, people, I like to make, you know, helping out and supporting us accessible, because, you know, people think, oh, I don't have a lot of money, you know, if I can't donate, you know, $20 or $50 or $100, then, you know, it's not going to make a difference. But it totally makes a difference. You know, every dollar absolutely adds up. And that's actually how we got Mushi's surgery funded. I made a post, you know, a couple posts within a week saying, you know, everyone who sees this post, if you can donate, you know, a dollar, like, let's see how far we can get. And we raised the entire cost of her surgery like that. So literally anything anyone can do to help is always appreciated. You know, if you can donate to us or to, you know, any rescue or sanctuary that, you know, that you like to support, it always goes a long way.
And seeing as this podcast going out at Christmas, maybe you can make an Amazon wish list and we can share that when the podcast goes out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I've thought about doing that on a number of occasions, but haven't yet. So yeah, that's a fantastic idea. This is Freddie and Nelson.
Aww, they are awfully cute.
Yeah, they are very cute. They're like the size of a big mouse, so they're dwarf rats, but they are adorable. Yeah. Or maybe should we do a full-sized one, Steffi? So then like it's obvious that it's a rat and not a mouse because these guys look like mice.
I'm fascinated by the bulgy eye thing now, though.
Yeah. I want to see it happen.
You got videos of that when it happens? That'd be
Yes, I have a video of Mushi doing it. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay, this is Charlie. He's
Charlie. He's big, isn't he?
He's very big. He's our biggest boy. Yeah.
Hello, Charlie. Well, thank you very much, Mariah, for joining us on our podcast. Absolutely fascinating talking about Frankie's world and rats in general. There's so much more to say about rats in different cultures and all that kind of stuff. But we know we've got to start somewhere. Maybe we can invite you back at some point and talk about rats in different parts of the world and different parts of Canada and even different cultures within Canada at some point. So that'd be absolutely fascinating. And as I say, we'll put all the information on the, it'll be on our website, on our YouTube channel and on our podcast platforms. So, and is Charlie going to give us a last squeak before we...
Hey, Charlie, you want to say hi to everybody? thanks for listening. Thanks for learning about rats.
Oh, he's
cute. Awesome. And we just want to be loved. And yeah, see everybody later.
And happy Christmas, Charlie.
Yes, Merry Christmas from Charlie. Happy Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.